SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and apparently, if you're not in an NFL marketing area, there's something going on with the market restrictions. I think because 964 is a play-by-play channel. I don't know. It's something that I think that's the apparent. If those of you are having trouble on SportsZone and 964, we'll figure that out. And at our website, too, stevebick.com. We are not in an NFL marketing area. We are in a thoroughbred horse racing marketing area. And certainly that was on display, the sale at Saratoga for the New York Breds, a smashing success Saturday and Sunday. Crazy, again, record-breaking, exceeding last year's record numbers. And that was just the evening portion of the racing news and activity. The on-track was obviously impacted by what continues to be a rough summer weather-wise, and it does not relent. There's plenty of more wet forecast here days ahead, so we just plow ahead. You can't be intimidated. All you can do is try to take advantage where the spots allow. And personally, it's been okay. And I wrote somebody today that was, they said, yesterday was the worst day ever. In all the years wait a minute. Six races on the grass and they got taken off. What are you going to do? What can you do? We had this discussion yesterday on television. If you missed Loose on the Lead, really had fun with Duke and Paul Matisse, who gave out two winners, including the $20 Barkley tag, debuter. That was huge. Paul and Duke both scored, and we talked about wet track and taking advantage. Been discussing this nonstop. Going back to last Thursday, you had two big pays. Yesterday, I'm not complaining at all. Pick five. Was it a bonanza? No. But was it a quality return? Yeah, it was. Made much easier by the off-track portion. It obviously impacted the Waya, which couldn't get a break and got delayed and to this weekend and then still couldn't be run. And Lynn Ashby, though, that was all right for certainly no complaint, I think, on Lynn Ashby's part with the win that Tricky Escape fashion, going basically wire to wire. Good ride, too, by Chris DiCarlo. Nice. Any number of riders, whether they're riding in Jersey and Philly and so forth, been coming into town and doing okay. That includes Finger Lakes, actually, as well. It's kind of a nice sidebar. Frankie Pennington the other day for Ned Allard. Got his first win ever at Saratoga. Ned Allard, of course, he's won a couple of decent races over the years at Saratoga, including the Alabama with Mom's Command. The weekend, we'll get to everything that went on here and coast to coast. I'll tell you right now, the biggest performance of the weekend came at Del Mar, and Jerry Hollendorfer will join us at the bottom of the hour. Instagram was super impressive. It could not have been more impressive to me. And wins the Best Pal Saturday. The 2-year-old under Drayden Van Dyke in control early and ridden confidently and then just drew off with authority, a horse that looks like he will stretch out. It looks like a horse that will not just stretch out, but rate when the time comes. And there's no telling what Instagram is. We'll talk to Jerry and get a feel for where this 2-year-old is and what he might be. Because if you didn't see it, pull it up on a replay center. Really, really strong. 92 buyer for Instagram. And here's Into Mischief. We talked with Sid on Wednesday. Into Mischief, a big part of the select sale numbers Monday, Tuesday, and contributed actually last night to the New York Breds, even. Mrs. Nielsen, who you heard from on Thursday. What a week she had. The $1 million seller Monday night, and then she got $450 Saturday night for the American Pharaoh Philly she told you about. And then last night, I think $350, $340 for an Into Mischief as well. And then she had like another 3 or 4 nice sellers, a couple in the hundreds, one in I think $250. Mrs. Nielsen had a magical week for a breeder. And, of course, New York Breds, the New York Breds did all they could leading up to that sale between the Diversify, Mind Your Biscuits, Whitney Exacta, and then Voodoo Song. We'll talk to Linda Rice at 10:30. Linda active over the course of the last two evenings at the sale. And the English Channel, 4-star Dave winner, now 5 for 5 at Saratoga. Really an amazing story, what Linda Rice has done with Barry Schwartz's Voodoo Song, which just seems to be getting better. And will target the Breeders' Cup mile. There was quite a few interesting developments toward the mile, actually, over the weekend, and that included Alpha Centauri, who won the Prix Lemerois, and might get that one over here as well to Churchill in the fall. Casey just sent me a note, by the way. Let me quickly give everybody a heads up. And this is one of those circumstances. I may have to tweet this. I will tweet it. Regarding your SiriusXM online and the app, if you're using it, Sirius, apparently two of our listeners checked in with the network and they said uninstall the app and then reinstall it. Delete it from your phone or your pad and then reinstall it, and that will apparently solve your issue. So I appreciate that, and appreciate the network Caroline that, you know, can be a little hit or miss in terms of helping. Back to some of the results, and I'm skipping around because there was so many interesting things. Let's go to Chicago and talk about what really was a special weekend for Arlington, not just because of Saturday's million card and the crazy prices that were produced. The Beverly, not the Beverly D, the Bruce Duchessois, the memorial that kicked things off, that set the pick five on its ear right away. Sir Anthony for trainer Anthony Mitchell and Richard Otto Stables. This was an Otto homebred, the Illinois bred, that won the Bruce D at 35-1. And there was this was one of those stories. There's a few horses in this sequence that just fell through the cracks. It happens all the time. And 35-1, That was an over the top overlay for a horse that, when you look back, all you have to do is look at that narrow beat that he took in the Springfield, and that performance on the synthetic. That was, you know, this, and this was too, of course, but that was the one turn mile. And that performance absolutely was as good as any of the contenders. I'm looking right at Thoroughgraph, and this feels like a huge missed opportunity. If that wasn't tough enough, if that didn't knock people out of the pick five, Carrick did. And congratulations to Donegal Racing, Jerry Crawford and the team. Crawford was emotional and really touched by the win in the Secretariat. Johnny V, who took a few days leading into Saturday, and then absolutely rode brilliantly. I mean, Sister Charlie, winning with Sister Charlie, the Beverly D, that was one thing at 3-2. But this win and this ride was absolutely perfect. He set up shop with Carrick. Tom Morley trains, and you know, this was a horse that debuted at Belmont in May for $40,000. One easy. Came back in a starter allowance. One easy. And not only did he win easy, that race that he exited was turned into a key race. Tried the Kent and ran fine. Ran okay. Then comes and tries this big opportunity and capitalizes. A huge win for everybody involved. The Giants Causeway, bred by Patricia Pavlish. Just a monster upset, 38-1, and that that pretty well sealed, came close to sealing the deal for a pick five carryover, and it certainly had to wreak havoc on the pick four players. You know, again, I'm looking one more time. I'm looking at the figs. Had run a race. That race in the starter allowance, absolutely good enough to compete. Poor analyze it. What can you say? What can you say about it? He runs well enough to win every time, and now has three straight second place finishes by less than a shoulder. Basically, three necks. It's a little inexplicable. You know, one, the Transylvania to start the year, and of course was 2-for-2 as a 2-year-old, and how can you be upset or complain? But it's got to be a little maddening, obviously. Again, look. Like a winner, and Carrick came calling, and you could see that Carrick was traveling well and was going to prevail, and he did. They called it a neck in the end. But from that point, the rest of the Arlington Million events belonged to Chad Brown and clients. For starters, Sister Charlie, who really, she's really, really special. And she adds the Beverly D. And Johnny, again, riding confidently. Easy winner. She pairs up her Diana. That's her third grade one of the year. And, of course, beaten by stablemate New Money Honey in the Belmont Oaks, and beaten by stablemate Four Star Crook in the New York. Four Star Crook, there's another nice New York bred. She came running, wasn't going to get to her stablemate here, though. And Thais, it stayed on nicely as the pace setter and was able to hold third. And she gets grade one type in her first graded steak in North America. But Sister Charlie, for Peter Brandt, who has really come back into the sport with a flourish and was very active Monday, Tuesday, and then again Saturday, Sunday, the White Birch Farm moniker in the sales register. So, the Beverly D, 1-2-3 finish for Chad Brown and company. Fourth, and we've got to bring this up. It's sad. Mrs. Polk passed away Friday night. And hearts go out to family. There's a lot of emotion that was involved, as you could see, from Kenny McPeaks. His media presence, and they were all hoping for a magical performance from Daddy's little darling. And Nancy Polk, Normandy Farm, nom de course, and she had been, obviously, her health had been failing for an extended period. That sweet picture of Kenny carrying her to the winner's circle. And she had a lot of success. She also bred, among others, a recent vintage Mongolian Saturday. So it was nice for her to have here at the end of her, near the end of her life, to have a horse like Daddy's little darling. Close to a million and a half in earnings. So I had to pass that along. Then turn to the million and Robert Bruce, the Chilean. And it was a very international superfecta in the Arlington Million, because Robert Bruce, Chilean, Almanar, English bred, Cacho ND, Argentinian, and Century Dream, the Irish, who was disqualified from third and placed behind Cacho ND. But Robert Bruce, the Fast Company son, Convento Viejo, homebred, and really kind of flexing his muscles with this performance to take the Arlington Million. Oscar performance pulled up and is okay. Took a couple of funny, what Jose Ortiz identified as kind of funny steps and as a precaution, but Brian Lynch says everything's okay. Really a fun sequence at Arlington that concluded with Secret Message, Grand Motion. And we'll get to that as well. And then that left us with a pick five carryover into yesterday, where about a million and a half was bet. And that proved to be tough. Let's take a break. Lots more to come after a big weekend.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
fun in the sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 fun in the sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Brown Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Brown Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I had a baby named Jane, she could shake that thing. Said her daddy used to hang with Johnny Coltrane. She sang on Soul Train with a friend named Jen. Her booty was bigger than a Mercedes Benz. Jen was a hurdy-gurdy, dirty little girly. I heard it from a birdie, she could cook a mean turkey with gravy. Baby, 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 baby was Jen's best friend. And maybe, if you were lucky, licky, licky.
We're back
sucky,
at the races.
Sucky,
nothing like little Nicky Avalon to start the morning. That puts a smile on everybody's face. And Instagram put a smile on Jerry Hollendorfer's face and Drayden Van Dyke's, and I'm sure Larry Best's. We'll talk to Jerry Hollendorfer in about 7-8 minutes, bottom of the hour. Back to a little bit of the review from the weekend, and we'll obviously talk about not just the Chicagoland Saturday, but then Sunday, he ended up with this carryover that was irresistible. It was enormous, what, 375 going in, and then they bet, I think, another $1.2 million, $1.3 million, $10,000 payout on what proved to be a really, it didn't look impossible. It really didn't, but it proved to be very tricky. And I was not close. I got the first leg and the anchor leg, but missed everything else in between. I didn't put a huge ticket together, but you want to be involved in this kind of this kind of payout. This is a positive expectation when more is paid, essentially paid to the players than put in per se. It's an irresistible betting opportunity. So, you know, even if you were only going to be interested in the million day, you had to come back and try on Sunday to play. Johnny Velasquez will join us in the third hour too. This morning we'll talk to Johnny about taking two out of the three of the big grade ones. and just kind of catch up at the midpoint of the season with Johnny. That's a pretty nice day for the Hall of Famer to go to Chicago and take down, two of the three great ones. One a little bit of a surprise, obviously, and set off the celebration at Saratoga for Tom Morley and Maggie Wolfendale Morley. And I'm sure the baby, I bet you the baby was, the baby must have figured it out, I'm sure, right? The some of the other action, we'll talk to Shug. Looking forward to catching up with Shug, who's having a nice meet. Had a little bit of a slow first, I don't know, 10 days of the meet maybe. And then once the first win came, some more now are coming with regularity. And then there's actually a couple of horses to talk to Shug about that debuted. He had one very nice debuter that is obviously going to not be a maiden long. But Inspector Lindley, I liked, Nick Tamro liked. I mean, Inspector Lindley, kind of looked like a balloon, looked like a beach ball, frankly, on the PPs. And then ran to it in the lure. Jose Lascano. And, of course, Lascano also gets the Grade 1 win in addition to that win in the lure. And I'm sure it's fun for Shug to win the lure. The season, the meet that Lascano's having is not to be overlooked. Jose Lascano riding really well. Should also fold in because Jeremiah Engelhart is going to visit. We'll get to Maya in hour two after Linda Rice. And Maya having a terrific meet. Wins the Adirondack with Sue's Fortune, the Jumpstart Filly, Junior Alvarado, and Junior's getting his share of wins too. While we're on the topic of jocks, the wins are getting spread out, and of course, we had Santana having the early part of the season very strong, and not that he's cooled off, but not as strong here the last week. But Luis Saez has had his moments. Everybody's getting their turn around here, and as I mentioned, that includes the riders that are coming into town for cameos. The Saratoga Special win, Jason Service is busy this morning, but then he's heading, after today, he's heading back down to Monmouth for a few days. We'll catch up with Jason tomorrow or Wednesday. But call Paul in what I thought was a really dogged effort by a two-year-old. That's the kind of thing when people talk about horses getting experience and being battle tested. He goes shoulder to shoulder with Type 10, the Asmussen Winchell colt, and they bump, and that was good. I mean, there was nothing in there that was objectionable or, anybody inquiry worthy or anything. It was just, two young horses that were gutting it out, and they came together a couple of times, no harm done. And if anything, the case could be made that Type 10, when he reached Call Paul, it must have been a little past, maybe past the eighth pole. He may have been ready to go by. And when he bumped Call Paul, we've talked to, whether it's Tony or Mig or any rider, will tell you that sometimes in that circumstance, if you're getting past the horse and you bump him, all you did was get his, get his dander up. And it did feel like Call Paul really dug in. And we'll see what Jason says. But the Pennsylvania bred that was picked out by Gary Young. And Gary for Michael Dubb. And, of course, Michael brought in his some of his regular partners, including Mike Caruso, Bethlehem, and also brought in David Simon and Bruce Irem. And they have got, clearly, a forward-going Colton. You were well-advised about Call Paul from Gary Young, and one of the several that Gary is 2-year-olds that he plucked during the training sale season. So we'll look forward to catching up. In fact, Jason also, you know, one thing he obviously wins all kinds of races, but those turf sprints the other day in the quick call, he put World of Trouble, you know, who was clearly the horse with the best figures coming in. I mean, he's the horse that was fast on paper, and he translated that into the quick call win. So Jason's service didn't have the greatest start to the meet, and then started to about a week in, 10 days in. This middle 10 days, the second 10 days, it seems, as we're now well into the second half. So we'll talk to Jason Service as well. I mentioned Tricky Escape. That pretty much gets it. Oh, the Stallion Series. Phil Serpy, who's been winning every so often so far, and his horses have run well. Louis Saez, they won with Goodbye Broccoli going back to Friday. And as we reach for Jerry Hollendorfer, we'll have Jerry. We won't take a break. And we'll talk to Jerry about his 2-year-old. But we got to talk about the off the turf. Saturday was rough, and it tore up that turf badly. Right now, today, we're off the turf, the first and the third, right now. And we'll see. They're going to monitor the weather, which just does not relent. Saturday, the rain really, that turf course got chopped up. And it needs a couple of days of sun and heat and wind to dry it out. In fact, even turf training canceled this morning on the Oklahoma side. So it's been rough. It has been rough. All races off yesterday came off the turf. They don't have to worry about that at Del Mar, and that's where we're going to go. Jerry Hollendorfer joins us because, as I started the show, the most impressive performance of the weekend came from 2-year-old Instagrand. Comes back from his Los Al performance and absolutely dominates the Best Pal, and just looked it looked like a horse that's made 10 starts, Jerry. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's a fair assessment, isn't it? Isn't this a polished horse for a lightly raced 2-year-old?
You know, he has a very good mind. He's had that from the very beginning.
We're going to talk about Larry Best, of course, as part of the backdrop to this, because he was active again on Monday and Tuesday in New York at the select sale. But let's focus in on what the upside here is and what impresses you most about the way he's just dominated in these two starts.
Well, we always thought that the horse was going to be good from the very beginning. And the reason that he got paid a lot of money for him by Larry was that, he showed a lot in the 2-year-old training sale. So, we had high expectations from the very beginning.
Well, it debuts at Los Al, wins by 10, comes back here at Del Mar and wins by 10. Where do you go from here?
Well, he's being pointed to the Del Mar Futurity, which is in September, and that's the big race for 2-year-olds at Del Mar. It's a 7-furlong race.
No doubt. What element, is there anything, Jerry, that you work on with a horse like this? What do you do? I mean, to prepare or just maintain fitness and let him do the rest?
Well, you know, he was with Eddie Woods' consignment, and then Eddie prepares his two-year-olds in training with a really good foundation. So the reason this horse did well at the two-year-old training sale was he had a great foundation put into him, and now it's carried over into our training. And then when we began working Instagrams, he was always good and then kept improving with every work. So we were confident that he would do well in his first start. And then he just has been very professional, very businesslike to carry on and win the stake on Saturday.
And that's what was most impressive, was just the fact that he's got this natural speed that places him forward immediately, but he's not speed crazy. And when Drayden asked off the turn, I mean, he barely moved on him, and he just
actually got him to relax. The horse broke very well out of the gate, and so he got him to relax, and that helped him out during the race. It was slow fractions, but the track has been putting up slow fractions.
Jerry, where do you, after two starts, I mean, this is kind of a ridiculous question, but does he remind you of anybody? Is there, what about him, you know, what does he have you thinking about?
He's his own individual, his individual self, so I don't try to compare him with anybody. And just, you know, if he can continue to improve, then he should be a pretty big force in California. And then if we could end up in a Breeders' Cup race with him, we'd be very pleased to try to do that also.
Regarding the two turns, you mentioned the Del Mar Futurity, the natural next step at the end of the meet. The way he sat and the way he moved and responded, it feels like the mile and an eighth and mile and a 16th, whatever you want to do with him, feels so much in his capability range.
Well, we're take it one step at a time, and see if he can go seven furlongs, and if he does that, then we'll try to continue on with him. Right now, it looks like he might be able to do any kind of distance, but, you know, I reserve judgment until the race comes up.
I mentioned Larry Best and Oxo Equine, and Jerry, he made a big splash early on, and you know, people, whenever anybody comes into the game like that, people kind of are a little judgmental early, but it does feel like everything is coming together and has really worked between Larry's eye and John Dowd and your training and so forth. It really feels like he's getting the kind of results that he was hoping for.
Well, you know, first of all, in order to be able to do business at the level that Larry's doing it, you know, he's proved that he's been very successful in his other business endeavors. So in order to be able to have the money to do that, he's been very successful in his other businesses. So whatever he's learned and how he's learned to do it, he's transferred that so far over to picking horses and buying some of the higher priced ones at the sale. So, you know, congratulations to him for doing that.
Well, and one of the quotes I saw recently, you know, coming out of the sale on Monday and Tuesday here, that he's having fun, and it's nice to see that. I mean, that's what, when you're spending money and you get involved at that level, you want the owners to be satisfied and to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I think that Larry's enjoying himself, and you know, he's had great success so far, and I wish him more success to come.
Well, your abilities as a Hall of Fame trainer goes a long way toward his satisfaction. Let's touch on the meat, a little bit of a halfway point. And there's obviously the other big players that have performed, Roy Ayton and Brill and so forth. Give us some feel, Jerry, about where you stand with the horses that we've already seen, and you know how the second half lines up for you at Del Mar.
Well, you know, we're just taking every day one day at a time and trying to do the best that we can. We've had some nice horses to work with at the meet and some success so far. So, you know, we're very interested in running Brill in the big filly race at the end of the meet. She's been working very well, and Drayden's and Dyke's been working her every work, and he's very pleased with her so far. We'll meet some other good ones in the debutante. So, you know, we just hope that she will continue to train well so that we can run her in that race and see if we can beat some of the other fillies at Del Mar. There's some good ones there.
Absolutely. What about Roe Ayton?
Nice horse, and, you know, we'll... been talking a little bit and going to talk more extensively with Larry about that horse. We're trying to make a plan for him. Larry's had some good ideas, and our barn has some good ideas, so we're going to see if we can mesh those and find the proper spot to run that horse in. He's very talented. He had a nice work on Saturday in 59-2 and galloped out very well. That's a good work at Del Mar. So he has talent, and we just need to be careful and try to pick the best race for him.
Well, speaking of nice works, Unique Bella working along. Some thoughts going forward for Bella.
You know. We nominated for the Pacific Classic, so we're reserving judgment on that until tomorrow. So I don't know. There could be some good reasons to run in that race and some good reasons not to. She breezed slowly yesterday, 51-2, but galloped out very nice. So she's very fit and very happy. She likes it down there where we have her at the racetrack. So. I don't know. We'll throw things around today a little bit and see what we want to do.
You're not giving up any hints, are you? About entering.
No, I'm not giving anything up.
Yeah, all right. I'm not going to I know better. I know better than to press you. We'll see when they open the entry box, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to try to be too clever about everything. So we'll see. But there's some thoughts both ways on what we should do.
I hear you. Well, let's catch up on a couple of horses that are going to be new to people. And got maiden races coming up, Jerry, this week, and that includes, I think, the Calbred race on Wednesday. Is it a Calbred race on Wednesday? Sneaking out? Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's a filly that we got ready in Northern California. She's been training up there, and her owner, Kevin Nish, can see her train there. So he likes to do that. But we thought that she might be good enough to run against the good horses down at Del Mar.
Well, sneaking out goes with the... with Espinoza, with the Bug Boy, so you get the 5 pounds, and doesn't hurt. Then coming up a couple of days later, what about Montmartre, the Don Alberto?
You know, that was a horse that we had very high regards for, and he sustained a shin problem, and we've had him off, and he's come back and worked very well. And I'm not at Del Mar today, but he's going to do a little work out of the gate today to make sure that he's prepared along with get a load of this. So, you know, those two horses, we hope to be a couple of our good horses for the rest of the year.
Well, Get a Load of This. This is a Mac Merhal bred Gradar, and he's already been gelded out of a Salt Lake mare, Veronica's Lake, making a first start. And Montmartre probably expects to be a pretty short price in that group.
I'm not sure. You know, I haven't even looked the race over yet, but, you know, I will shortly and see what we're going to see, what kind of plan we're going to try to make there.
Jerry, a couple of other notes. I see that just a bit of a personal favorite, Full of Luck, going to run on Thursday.
Yeah, you know, we got him in an allowance race, and, you know, we bought him out of South America, and you know, he hasn't come through for us yet, but nobody's ever given up on him, and we quite like him, and we'll see what he can do in this kind of race, but his last race was a big improvement, so we're looking to do a little bit better this week with him.
Well, he hit the board in the Cougar 2, and, you know, he certainly has been keeping good company, and I just love the Chilean breds when they come up here, and right away I took an interest in here. Jerry, it's been a good meet already, obviously, and another half through Labor Day, and between Unique Bella waiting for a decision whether she participates in the Pack Classic, but the two-year-olds hitting on all cylinders, and a wonderful performance from Instagram, becoming a graded stake winner. I appreciate it. As always, continued success.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Jerry Hollendorfer, always fun. And he's got so many good ones there. We haven't even, I mean, there's another group of unraced two-year-olds yet that'll keep coming. And Instagram, in the meanwhile, is hard not to anoint him. at least as of today, hard not to anoint him the leader in the two-year-old ranks. I mean, this—if you didn't see it—and I don't. You know, people are saying, "Well, he only beat three." That doesn't matter. He did it. He did it fast. He completely relaxed. You can see that Van Dijk is just motionless, and everybody else is riding to keep up. And then when Van Dijk just basically leaned forward, kind of shifted his weight and didn't really need to do anything for the horse to just gallop away. I mean, he didn't even really like drop down and and banged out another 10-length victory with a 92 fig. So. Pretty impressive. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, I'm going to visit with Shug. Always a pleasure to connect. And don't think I'm not going to laud his performance on the dance floor from last week. Shug McGahee joins us. And the performance yesterday by Browse, that was okay. Sometimes you don't know where to place those kinds of wins, you know, when they come off the turf, and what does it mean exactly? But I looked pretty impressive to me. Shug's starting to really fire away. We'll talk to him next.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade 2 $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Race the prices yesterday at the grocery store. Reckless man hanging out front, always gets ignored. Can we ever solve these problems in our changing world? Will our children ever get us to play out in the yard? There's a new cattle world that's taking over. It's got devils, it's got angels sitting on my shoulders.
We're back at the races. There will be second chances for plenty of horses that debuted and might not have succeeded first time around. We'll talk to Shug in a minute, Casey efforting, as they say. But one of the ones that I'm excited about asking is that Dance Club from it's about a week ago, I suppose, 10 days ago maybe. That was a horse that, you know, after starting poorly, came running and is going to look a little... not special on paper, but was motoring late, and that was that race that Lady TNT exited, and it was on the 5th. There you go. It was on the 5th, so a week ago yesterday. So we'll see what Shug's got, and of course I guess every Saratoga in a lot of ways is special for Shug, because when you're inducting every couple of years, inducting horses into the Hall of Fame, that helps. And the fet for Heavenly Prize, who really kind of got to, you know, to be the focus at the ceremony a week ago Friday, and Shug yesterday busy too with the round table, and we'll talk about the round table. Probably get to Matt Hegarty tomorrow. And there's been the usual flurry of conversations at Saratoga beside the round table yesterday. They revisited, just as a top line and just to kind of tap dance here until if we're going to get, we may have to push Shug back, case if that happens. So, yeah. Okay. All right. That's fine. That's fine. Something must have come his way, because he was good for 9:45. So we will swap around and bring Claude Ray back later. Johnny at the top, obviously, and then Linda Rice, Maya Engelhart, Ian Wilkes, and Johnny V will join us, among others. Others being Shug, if we can get him back. Boyd Browning, Boyd was gonna. We'll get to Boyd tomorrow. We'll get Boyd on tomorrow. I want him to summarize everything from his perspective on the two sales, because this was about as good a 4 days as Fasig Tipton could possibly have. When it came to the sale, back to the roundtable yesterday, and you know, the state of racing, and Stuart Janney presiding, and matters pertaining to racing. It's always worth reviewing, and we'll get Matt in here, Hegarty, to. He's been to his share, certainly. So, a couple of things they reconvened with McKinsey, and of course the McKinsey study from, gosh, now it's what, 7-8 years ago, and the McKinsey study certainly set some things in motion, including. The Jockey Club series on Fox for a couple of years. The McKinsey study really exhorted the industry to provide more exposure and to get out on national television more. And, you know, between that effort and then some aggressive deals with NBC and with the initiatives that we've just seen the last few weekends, actually. The last, what, 3 weekends? Monmouth, Saratoga, and then Chicago this weekend, you know, with NBC's Breeders' Cup Challenge coverage. Fold in what NYRA has done with Belmont Live and Saratoga Live. The distribution of a daily, virtually a daily racing broadcast to 70% of the country has been, you know, a very, very positive. So in terms of the television exposure that McKinsey suggested, and it was in 2011, was that report. So it is 7 years ago. There were some other things, and some of it really has not, frankly, has not fully been realized, some of those suggestions. The one thing that has been a source of utter frustration and annoyance is the inability to integrate post times, and the Jockey Club Information Services, they have a planning tool for staggering of post times so that players, you know, don't find themselves, you know, having to pick and choose between which race they want to watch. Nothing annoys players more. I should paraphrase that. Certainly one of the things that that annoys players the most is tracks running on top of each other. And what feels like in one particular case, the specific attempt to do it. It's one thing when there's shoe repairs and there's problems in the paddock or behind the gate and there's issues that delay the start of a race. Everyone is sympathetic to that. No one is sympathetic to attempts to hold viewers hostage players hostage and keep them from paying attention to other races. That is just preposterous and so narrow-minded, it's beyond description. And the Jockey Club has tried to address this, and they've got a system that they say if post times are optimally scheduled and executed, there's the potential to increase handle by 7%. That was the number that was estimated. And it's a little bizarre that cooperation can't be achieved on this topic, you would think. You would think that everybody, the networks too, the TVG would appreciate it as well. You know, getting eyes on as many races as possible. So we'll talk to Matt Hegarty and get his roundtable discussion. There was also the Albany law discussion, and you had the NTRA presentations. There's a lot of that, and we've been so immersed in the racing and the sales that we really haven't had a chance to catch up on that kind of stuff. So let's take the break here, top of the hour. Johnny D standing by. We'll get caught up on Johnny's week and weekend. I don't know how much horseplay. It feels like Johnny's. He's at weddings, he's at bar mitzvahs, he's at christenings, brisses. He's all it's Cape May. He's Johnny. He's at Del Mar. And not this week, but next week he'll be right up here at Saratoga. So we'll see how Johnny did this weekend. And we'll catch up to Tina. Tina hit some races. I think she hit four out of the 10. She bagged, you know, she broke even. She's treading water. She's getting ready for her assault on Fun in the Sun. Johnny D joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.